In many of the messages that I've presented before, you may remember me mentioning some of my educational background and some of the work that I do in my day-to-day work. Something that you may not have observed, however, is that the liberal arts education that I have accumulated over time does not quite fit with the technical career path that I'm currently employed doing. Somehow I've found my way to do this stuff, given that that educational background. But because of that mismatch, a couple of months ago, I decided to go back to school and start taking classes to really focus on a program and get a degree that closes that gap in my education and work life, so that I can educate myself in something that directly relates to what I do. Now, the degree program that I've chosen contains classes about topics that I've been working with in my real world life, my career, for years already. So in going through the curriculum, looking at the kinds of things I would learn before I even applied to school, I observed that just about every class in the degree covered something that I had already done professionally. And I was like, I've done all this stuff already, right? It was a natural thing for me to ask just exactly why I was interested in signing up for this program, knowing that it was really only going to prepare me for the kind of job that I already have. So why bother? I don't want to get into the answer to that question as much today, but I want to point out something that was a subtle nuance in the attitude that I found that I had. In looking at the classes of this program, I really wondered if I would learn anything. In fact, there was a part of me that thought that I would be able to breeze through these classes. And because I knew everything already, it would be really easy. And in fact, there was part of me that even felt that I would, in fact, bring more to the class than I would get out of it. And then I started attending. So early in the semester, I would get to class thinking that I knew things already, that I didn't really have to work too hard. And I'm typically eager to participate in class. I raise my hand a lot, and I really enjoy getting involved in these heady discussions, right? So I speak my mind a lot, and it was interesting to observe that when I thought I had a good answer to a question, it would either be just wrong, or there were other things that were pointed out that I had completely missed. So what I found is that I had more to learn. I didn't know it all already. And that's reflected back on me, and I realized that I had gone into this whole experience with a pretty rotten, prideful attitude. And I reflected back, and I thought to myself that I realized that school is a place to go to learn, and that you cannot learn anything if you know it all already. This experience for me is very personal and very true, and it served me it gave me a great opportunity to really think more deeply, not only about this whole career and education part, which is just on a limb of my life, but it caused me to reflect on my core attitude of where this grows from. If I can see pride in this aspect of my life, which I do, and I, like I said, I consider it a limb, what does my core attitude look like? I think of life in a metaphor. I think of it as a tree. And I think of, I don't want to take the metaphor too deep. It's not, it just helps me understand how things relate in my life. But at the root of my life, I like to consider that everything grows out of my spiritual commitment to God and that way of life. And everything that grows in me comes out of that root of being committed to God. The trunk, my core beliefs, and the various activities that I participate in. school, work, friendship, all of those things are things I do that grow from the trunk. And then there is fruit that bears as well. So if I am sitting out there on a limb and I'm noticing pride as a fruit of one of the aspects of my life, how does that reflect from my core, from that root? If my root sustains everything and builds everything, producing that fruit, do I have something rotten at my core, at that root? Am I really, do I really have that spiritual foundation at my root? So anyway, this whole issue of pride really has caused me to reflect from the out in and think about this aspect of pride. It is, and I bring it up because it is such a frightening thing to recognize, because pride is it's an aspect that will drive a wedge between God and us. It can start out as a minuscule splinter, but that splinter will get wider and drive us further and further apart from God. I want to look at a couple examples. If you can turn your way over to 1 Samuel 15, I want to take a look at Saul, because he is one of the most classic examples who fell victim to pride. He started out with humble beginnings and let pride take hold. I'm going to read in 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to start in verse 3 and scan through this scripture. Okay, 1 Samuel 15, starting in verse 3. "Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. So giving you a little bit of context here, God is giving Saul some instructions very specifically to go and attack Amalek. And what does he do? Well, let's go down to verse 8 of 1 Samuel 15. "He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed." So you can see the divergence here, right? He did attack Amalek, obeyed God in that aspect, but he did not follow through with the real instructions. And then he's called to task by Samuel about it. Looking down at, starting in verse 17 of this chapter. "So Samuel said, 'When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?' And Saul said to Samuel, 'But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder,'" right? "'sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal.' So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king.'" Saul partially follows the instructions of God. Yet he justifies his own actions, believing that his own ideas were better. That is where pride becomes the wedge. It is starting to separate Saul, and in fact it has done a great deal of separation at this point, separating Saul from following God completely. Now how did he get here? It's so easy to forget whom we rely on. when we are blessed, it's so easy to think that we deserve it. I've done this and this and this, and therefore I'm successful or blessed. When we experience success, do we think we deserve it, or do we immediately praise God and thank Him? I think we know what we should do, right? Pride gets in the way of our thankfulness for God being in our lives and His role in our lives. And it's very subtle, and it can trip anybody up if we're not on guard. Now, as my personal example explains, pride gets in the way from allowing us to grow and learn and see the things that we don't see, as was the case with Saul as well. The Bible is riddled with many examples that you could find, but I want to have you turn over to 1 Corinthians 4, where this group of people also had a problem of pride. 1 Corinthians 4, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 8. So Paul is talking to the Corinthians, or writing to the Corinthians, rather. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And verse 8, you are already full. You are already rich. Paul is showing them what kind of attitude they have. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we might also reign with you. Paul strongly reprimands their attitudes because they are puffed up. They are, by all measures, successful people. They are rich. They are knowledgeable. They have teachers. Yet because of that, they are unwilling to learn from Paul. When something, if you take a glass of water and you fill it up all the way, there's no room for anything else. It spills out. And we, when that happens, there's no room for growth. And in the latest number letter, if you haven't read it yet, it is available on our website. You will read there about the Laodiceans, and this is the kind of attitude that they have. In there, in Revelation 3, we can read about them. I'm not going to have you turn there, but they too have become rich and have need of nothing. Having need of nothing is an attitude that we must be aware of if it does become something that happens in our lives. We need to be on guard against that in ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul writes again, Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Just when we think we have things figured out, we need to think again about what more we can do. If we think we're doing okay, that's good. We need to make sure that we are making progress towards our goals, and spiritually speaking, that we are correcting the things that we want to correct and making improvements in our spiritual life. But when we are there, we can't stop. We need to keep going. If we feel good about our accomplishments, we can't rest. We need to keep going. Our confidence, in fact, should be a trigger for us to further examine ourselves. If we are comfortable, try harder, right? And this is not to say that we should constantly be in a state of self-doubt. We shouldn't. We are supposed to have confidence in Christ. But we also need to constantly be on guard and examine ourselves for ways that we can improve. Another important thing to remember is where our strength comes from. We are all very fortunate here today. By virtue of being here in person, listening in, We have an awareness and an understanding of this holy day, which many people do not. That understanding is precious, it's correct, it's right, but it is a blessing for us to have it. It is understanding that has been given to us from God. He has given it to us. It is not something that we come to understand in and of ourselves. God calls people to Him. David understood this very well, and I'd like to turn over to Psalm 118 and read a quick passage there. Psalm 118 and verse 9. I'll start there. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That is where our trust needs to come from. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. That is where strength comes from, right? Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. That is where our strength comes from. If there is a reason to boast, as Paul wrote, it should be in the fact that we have God on our side. The reason that pride gets in the way of our relationship with God is that it causes us to forget to whom we owe our success and our strength and our life. God is the creator of life. How much do we owe Him, right? Absolutely everything. Jesus Christ clearly understood this as well, and I'll cite this scripture in John 5:30. We read, I can of myself do nothing. Nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus Christ serves as our perfect example for how we are to work in our lives. The kind of attitude that we have should be modeled after that of Christ. Pride is an enemy of God, and if we have it in our lives, we need to work to get it out. And it sneaks in, as I mentioned in my introduction. It can cause us to become lazy if we're not careful. Complacency is something that we want to be in guard of. If we think we're doing a good job in something, we need to step back and look a little harder at the things that we don't see. It's not easy, but it's important. And at this time of year, something that is on our minds is fulfilling our call to become perfect. That is something we are working towards and looking forward to, is that moment when we will be perfected and glorified. But when we remember that we're not there yet, we know that there is more we can do.